Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 23 will be the text. Genesis 1, 3 through 23. Then God said, "Let there be lights." And there was lights. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this account of creation. We thank you that you are our creator, our maker, and the one who made all things. And we pray as we look at this text, days 1 to 5 of your glorious creation, that we would glory not ultimately in creation, but in you, the God of creation. And so help us to glory in you through what you've made, in the sense that we glory in what you've made as our creator and the one who sustains all things. Help me in preaching, and help my brothers and sisters in Christ in hearing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So last Lord's Day, I began a series working through Genesis. My plan at this point is only to do 1 through 11. It's possible I'll do the whole book. But my plan is to at least do 1 to 11, seeking to lay a framework of foundational truths in Genesis, preaching through these sections. Genesis is very foundational for a biblical worldview. It teaches us how we got here. It teaches us what's wrong with the world. It teaches us what's the purpose of life. Is there any hope for the future? Are things going to be made right? All these things, at least in seed form, are found in Genesis. Things like, why is there work? Why do we wear clothes? Why is there a Sabbath? Why is there procreation? All those things are found in Genesis. And so Genesis is a very important book, giving us a framework of how to view the world. People cannot truly understand the rest of the Bible if they don't have some foundation from the book of Genesis. Amen. And so Genesis is foundational to living in God's world. And so we saw last Lord's Day the reality that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. That it was the God who made all things, heavens and earth, which is a summary of God making everything. And then we see that at the beginning, the earth was without form and void. It was darkness over the face of the deep. And God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. And now this, today, we will look at days 1 to 5, seeking to see what God made. Verses 1 and 2 are more summaries in the sense of overview, particularly verse 1. And then we see verses 3 through 23 as an overview of what God made on the 5 days, the first 5 days of creation. And so the main point of this sermon is creation days 1 through 5. Creation days 1 through 5. My first point, first day. Second point, second day. Third point, third day. Fourth point, fourth day. Fifth point, fifth day. And so my first point, first day. So after we have verses 1 and 2, we see now God speaking. In verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be lights. And there was lights. So on the first day, we see that God made what was dark, or was without light. God spoke by his word, lights. And when God said, let there be light, there was lights. And God saw the light, verse 4, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so on the first day, God is taking what is dark and without any light, and he speaks and light comes. This is before God makes the sun or the moon. But before there was sun or moon, there was lights. God gave lights. What exactly the light was, we don't know. But we do know, according to the book of Revelation, that there will be no sun there, and God himself will be the lights. So it's very possible the glory of God was the light. It's very possible, but we don't know for sure. But we do know that there was lights. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So on the first day, what was dark, there came lights. So light is what God created on the first day. And then it says at the end, verse 5, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Answers in Genesis summarizes, has a summary of the first day, something I got off one of their sites. It says, quote, we can read about what God made on day 1 in Genesis 1 to 5. Genesis 1, 1 to 5. The first thing he created was the earth. We see that more particularly in verse 2. It was originally covered in newly created water, and there was darkness all around. Then God said, let there be lights. And instantly there was light. We don't know what this original light was, since the Bible does not tell us. But we do know that it wasn't the sun, because the sun wasn't created until day 4, Genesis 1, 14 through 16. At the end of day 1, God had made earth, water, and light out of nothing. He saw that it was good. Then there was evening and morning, the first day, end quote. So that's a summary of what God made on the first day. Now the second day, my second point, second day. Verse 6 says, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The firmament is the expanse or the skies. And so on the second day, God made the skies. He divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called this firmament, or this expanse, heaven. And then it ends in verse 8, so the evening and the morning were the second day. So on the second day, God created the expanse, the firmament, which he called heaven. Answers in Genesis summarizes this day by saying this, quote, Genesis 1, 6 through 8 tells us what God created on day 2. On day 1, God created light and earth covered with water. On day 2, God divided that water. Some of the water stayed on earth to eventually form the oceans, lakes, and rivers, day 3. That would be filled with fish and other sea creatures, day 5. The Bible says that the rest of the water was divided from this water on earth and was placed above the firmament. But what was the firmament? The firmament refers to a space or expanse called heaven, Genesis 1:8. On day 4 of creation, God put the sun, moon, and stars in the heaven, Genesis 1:17. And on day 5, he created birds that fly in the part of the heaven that is near us, Genesis 1:20. So this we know, that on day 2, God created our atmosphere, what we call sky, and our space, end quote. And so we see that God made the firmament, we call it heaven, and God created the atmosphere, the sky, and outer space on day 2. Now day 3, third point, third day. Starting at verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And then it goes on a little bit more. So we see that on the third day, God made the waters under the heavens to be gathered together into one place. The dry land appeared. God now officially calls the dry land earth. And he calls the gathering together of the waters seas. And he saw that it was good. He also wanted grass. He wanted herbs to yield seed. He wanted fruit to come about. And because of this, the earth brought forth grass, herbs that yield seeds according to their kind, trees that yield fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Answers in Genesis summarizes in this way, quote, in Genesis 1, 9 through 13, we can read about what God did on day 3 of creation week. First, he commanded the water to go into one place so that dry ground could appear. Because this water went into one place, Genesis 1:9, it seems that God created one great big ocean and one great big continent. It wouldn't be until the flood that he would get the seven continents that we have today. Now that there was dry land, God commanded it to produce plants. Soon fruit trees, green grass, pretty flowers, and many other kinds of plants filled the land. And each of these plants reproduces according to its kind. Genesis 1:12. This means that one kind of plant cannot turn into another kind of plant. Daisies always produce more daisies, and pine trees always produce more pine trees. Plants did not evolve. God created all of the plant kinds on day 3, end quotes. So we see a summary there of what God made on day 3. They even say that very possible, most likely, there was one big ocean and one big continent until the flood later on in Genesis. And on day 3, all the plant kinds were made. They didn't evolve. They were made on day 3. And then day 3 ends in verse 13. So the evening and morning were the third day. Let me just make this comment here. I'm sure it's going to come up other times. Genesis 1 is meant to be read as history. And God is so determined that we know it's a historical account that he says evening and morning, the first day, the second day. It's not to be read as a metaphorical story or just a literary device. God is saying this is history of how I made the world, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and then resting on the 7th. It's meant to be read, the whole book of Genesis is meant to be read as history. I said last Lord's Day that the primary reason for Genesis 1 and 2 is not to debate about creation days, but to glory in the God of creation. But it is meant for us to know how God made the world in 6 actual 24-hour days according to how he describes in Genesis 1 and 2. And so we see God cannot be more clear by connecting evening and morning, the first day, the second day, etc., showing that these are real days. And let me just say this as well. We'll get into the sun now in day 4. But the sun is how we tell time. There can be time, there can be days without the sun. The sun is how we tell the time. God can, of course, knows the time. He doesn't need the sun. It's for our benefit to know times and seasons and days, etc. And so these are to be meant to be read as God wrote them by his Holy Spirit through Moses as literal days. Now, fourth point, fourth day. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God, on the fourth day, is putting lights in the firmament of heaven, lights to divide day from nights, for signs and seasons, days and years. He makes the lesser light, or the greater light, which we know as the sun, and the lesser light, which we know as the moon, which reflects the light of the sun. The sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night. I don't know if it strikes anybody else. In verse 16, I find it very interesting. It's just like a passing comment. He made the stars also. Do you know how many stars we have in our galaxy? It's just a passing comment. Like, yeah, he made the stars also. Just like a small little thing. He made the greater light. He made the lesser. He made the stars also. I mean, don't forget the stars. The other stars. He made the stars also. And so it's just so interesting to me when we have stars that we haven't even discovered. And it just says, because it's so easy for God, he made the stars also. And so he made this greater light and lesser light. It's very possible. I was listening to a sermon. I think this pastor brought it up, this man who was preaching, he brought up that it's possible that God calls greater light and lesser light because in pagan religions, what were some of the main things that they would worship? The sun and the moon. So it's very possible because Moses is writing this many, many years after creation, because Moses is writing this to the Jewish people as a redeemed people. And it's very possible God wants it that way to lessen the quote unquote glory of the sun and moon. It's just the greater light and lesser lights to keep the Jewish people away from worshiping the sun and the moon and even the stars, which was common amongst pagan religions. And so a warning against that idolatry. And so we see that God, verse 17, set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. The sun was to rule over the day and over the night, the moon, and to divide the light from darkness. The sun, the moon, etc. Well, God set them, meaning the stars and the sun, the moon, and sun to rule the day, the night to rule the moon to rule the night. And God saw what he made on day 4, and it was good. And it was good. So God on the fourth day made sun, moon, and stars. Answers in Genesis says this, quote, well, on day 2, God created, among other things, outer space. But outer space was just, well, space. So on day 4, he filled it with all kinds of beautiful things. These lights, Genesis 1:14, include the sun, moon, and stars, Genesis 1:15, as well as many other things that aren't named in Genesis, such as the other planets in our solar system, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, dwarf planets like Pluto, asteroids, comets, exoplanets, planets that orbit other stars, and so much more. God's creativity isn't just seen here on Earth with all different kinds of plants and animals. The creativity of our Creator is seen throughout everything he has made, including the objects in outer space, Psalm 19:1, end quote. And so God's handiwork is seen not just on earth, but even the things he made in space. And then it says at the end of this day, or to close this day, verse 19, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, fifth point, fifth day, in verse 20, it says, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And so we see on the fifth day, God made living creatures that would inherit that would inhabit the waters, and God made birds that would inhabit the firmament of the heavens. So God made great sea creatures to live in the water, and he made birds to inhabit the firmament of the heavens. And so this is what God made on day five. And on day five, after making them, and he describes in verse 22, he blessed them, and just like he'll bless man as male and female to be fruitful and multiply, God blesses the birds that would inhabit the waters, or the birds that would inhabit the air, and animals that would inhabit the waters, that they would be fruitful and multiply, filling the waters, those who would be sea creatures, and those who would fly, that they would multiply on the earth. And so God is blessing these creatures that they would be fruitful and multiply, and they would fill the earth with their offspring. And so God, on the fifth day, he makes water creatures, those creatures that would live in the waters, and those that would be birds to inhabit the skies. In Answers in Genesis, again, it says, quote, "On day five, God filled the oceans with fish, whales, corals, clams, squid, jellyfish, marine reptiles, and so much more." Genesis 1, 20 and 21. "These creatures did not come about slowly over millions of years, with corals, sponges, and jellyfish coming first, and then fish coming later. All of them were created on the same day by God. But God wasn't finished. He also created birds and other flying creatures." Genesis 1, 20 and 21. "Imagine the quiet earth with all those beautiful plants, suddenly filled with the songs and cries of all kinds of different birds. It must have been amazing. But it wasn't just birds. God also created bats and flying reptiles on day five." End quote. So we see all the things that God is making on 1 through 5. God is filling the earth. It was without form, it was void, it was dark. And day 1 to 5, we could say God has the backdrop, and now he's filling it in with lights and with animals and with the sun, the moon, the stars, as he's making his world as he desires it. And just to highlight it, we see after every day, what God said he wanted, it happened, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. What God made was good. And then we'll see on day six, at the end of day six, it was very good. Everything that God made, it was not tainted with sin. There was no taint of sin before the fall. There was no such thing. There was no such thing as sin before the fall. There was no such thing as death. Thank you. There was no such thing as sin or death before the fall. It was all good. This is also important for why six-day creation is important, because if you have an evolutionary framework, you have death before the fall. You have something not good before the fall. But we know that sin came in the world, or death came in the world through sin. There was no death before sin. Before sin, God saw everything. It was good. 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 It was very good. Everything God made was good. And then at the end, very good. We will see, just for clarity, we will see language of not good, but not good in the sin, or something was not good, but it's not to be read as sinful, but incomplete. There was something incomplete about it. So not being not good can be used in different senses. But before the fall, everything was very good. No sin, no disease, no death. Everything was perfect. Exactly how God wanted it. It was a beautiful world. And even in light of the fall, even in light of sin, our world is still a blessed place in so many respects. And I love how it puts it in. I love how it puts it in. This is my Father's world. As we sang, it said, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet." And so that's important. And even after the fall, there's so many things to rejoice in God's creation. And how much more before the fall, as we see God making all things in the space of 6 days and all very good. But we've seen in this sermon days 1 to 5. But we see that creation is not meant to just be read in isolation. But as we read the entirety of our Bible, Genesis to Revelation, we see creation language as it relates to our salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is connected with the creation of the world. Let me show you at least one text. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. We saw on day 1 that God said, what? Let there be lights. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. It says here, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, in our dead hearts because of his redemption through Jesus Christ, because of the grace of Christ to live and die and rise again, God put his Spirit, and his Spirit said, "Let there be light," in our dead hearts by the word and by his activity. And because of that, we had the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same way God said, "Let there be light," on day 1, in your dead heart before you were converted, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And instead of rejecting Jesus, you saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, by the Holy Spirit, connects the same way God said, "Let there be light," the same way he said, "Let there be light in your dead heart," that you could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Or if you look in the same book, verse 17 of chapter 5, 5:17 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When you come to Christ, when a person is in Christ by the work of the Spirit, you know what they are? New creation. You can't understand that unless you know about old creation, about first creation. That we are born in the world as in Adam, and therefore part of the old creation in that sense. When a person comes to Christ, they are now brought into Christ, and therefore they are new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So the Bible uses creation language to speak about our salvation. And so a person cannot truly appreciate salvation, the redemption that God has accomplished for his people in Jesus and brought that salvation to them by his Holy Spirit. They cannot understand that salvation rightly unless they understand creation. Because God said, just like he said, "Let there be light," he spoke to your dead heart. Just like there was an old creation where God made all things and made things out of nothing, he took your dead, sinful heart and transformed it and made you a new creation. Because in Adam, all die. And all of us are born in Adam. We're born under the federal headship of the first Adam. But when the Spirit gives us new life and we repent and believe, we go from being in the first Adam to the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another reason why we have to understand Genesis. Because the gospel is connected with being in Adam or being in Christ. You're either in one of those two people. We could almost say there's only two people that are really, really, really important who have ever existed. Adam or Christ. Because those are the federal heads. You're either in Adam or in Christ. And if you don't understand Genesis and God's creation of man and woman and who Adam is, you can't understand being in Adam or in Christ. And so our salvation is connected with Genesis. And a person to tamper with Genesis can very easily tamper with salvation. Because if you don't believe in old creation in the sense of original creation, you might tamper with new creation. If you don't believe that God actually said, let there be light, and there was actually light as God said it, why would you believe that God said, let there be light in your dead soul and Jesus Christ as the Savior? And if you don't believe in Genesis, why would you believe you need Christ? Because there is no fall and no fall and therefore no guilt in Adam. Because if Adam is not a real man, then there's no such thing as being in Adam as any literal meaning. And therefore, there's no literal meaning to being in Christ. And so you see why Genesis is so important even to our salvation. Because if you're saved, you know what God did? He said, let there be light to you. If you're saved, he made you a new creation. And if you're saved, you went from being in the first Adam to the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you where it says that. 1 Corinthians 15, we see language of the last Adam. Verse 45, if you look there. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Or if you look at verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Isn't it interesting? The first man and the second man. Almost like there's only two men who have ever lived. The first man, the second man. The two most important figures in that sense, two Pharaoh heads, Adam and Christ. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What a glorious thing. Even though all of us were born and we are of the dust in that sense, because we are children of Adam, every single one of us. But if we are in Christ, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Because the last Adam, verse 45 again, became for his people a life-giving spirit. And so this is the glorious truths that we see as we understand Genesis. We more and more understand our salvation. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into the world that he made. The Word made all things. He made the world. The Son of God made all things, and he entered the human race, assuming to himself a human nature, so that he could redeem the world that he made. So that the world that the Son made, he would come into that world so that for us and for our salvation, he would redeem us. And he would be born, yes, uniquely and miraculously, but born with our nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her. And he would live the earth on earth, the one he created. And he would even die upon the wood that he made so that the cross could actually exist. Do you know that Christ made the wood that made it possible to make crosses? So that, why did he make that? So one of the key reasons he made wood, so that he would be able to die upon a tree for us and for our salvation. And he rose again so that we might, through him, no longer be in the first Adam, but in the last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we would see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because God not only said, let there be light then, but said, let there be light to us to bring us to salvation. Blessed be his name, that we have salvation in Christ. And so because God is our creator, all of us are accountable to him. And therefore, all of us are responsible to repent and believe in Christ so that we can know him not only as our creator, but as our redeemer. And as we hear about Genesis, when we think about Genesis, our first and foremost reaction to the book of Genesis is not, even though I brought up things about why we should believe in six-day creation, it's important. But first and foremost, we should glory in the triune God who made all things. Creation is first and foremost so that we would glory in the God who made it. The one who made it for himself, by himself. Yes, for our good, but for his own glory. So that we would see his wisdom, his power, and his goodness in making all things. And as we read our Bibles, when we see about salvation for us as Christians, we can truly only understand it in the way God wants us to, is if we know what happened at creation. So that when you read 2 Corinthians 4:6, you understand. So when you read 1 Corinthians 15, you know what he's saying. When you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know what's going on because you know about Genesis. And so may God help us to glory in our salvation, to know that the one who made us is not only our creator and our sustainer, but our redeemer through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you bless these truths. Thank you for making us through your Son by your Spirit. And thank you that we are, if we are Christians, in Jesus Christ, the last Adam. In Jesus' name, amen.